We're continuing our Magid with Baruch HaMakom. There's a nice song for this. This is like a blessing for the beginning of the Seder. We're entering the Magid, the depths of the Magid. So we say, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, blessed is Naam, omnipresent, blessed is He. Baruch Shentan Torah L'Am Yisrael, Baruch Hu, blessed is the one who gave the Torah to Israel, blessed is He. Remember, the essence of Exodus from Egypt is that we abide by the Torah, that we become better people. It's not just, we're free men. You have to instill that point in the Seder. We were taken out of Egypt with a purpose. We're supposed to do something in this world. We were given a guidebook. We were given this Torah. We can't ignore that. It's not just about the freedom. It's the freedom to be true servants of Hashem. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Shenatan Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah, Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. The Torah repeats four times the commandment to tell our children about what happened in Exodus, and our sages have a tradition that this refers to four types of children one might have. The Torah spoke corresponding to four children one might have. The wise, the wicked, the simple, and the one who is not even able to ask. How does a wise son approach this? He asks, what are the testimonies, decrees, ordinances which Hashem our God has commanded you? So you tell him everything, the laws of the Pesach offering, and then Maftrim Chal Pesach Afikoman, up to the point where after the Paschal offering you don't eat anything, and you just sit down and keep talking to him all night long. That's it, Dad. No going out to drink some schnapps with the neighbor. No going away from the table to have a good time. Now you sit down the rest of the night and you guys talk. This is the night that you can't push him off. This is the night you can't keep saying, ask on Thursday night. That's it. Tonight you got a deal. Got a deal. Rashama Omer, how does a wicked son approach it? What does he say? Mabuda azot lachim. What you guys doing? What's all this work? Why are you working so hard? It's an attitude. Lachim elolo. Notice how he's saying, you guys. I'm not a part of this. And by excluding himself from the believers, he says, you guys believe in this? He's denying the basic principle of Judaism. God comes and tells the Jewish people, leave Egypt. There are a lot of questions you could ask. But how will I live in the desert? God didn't tell us He's giving us man. And what will I do when the Egyptians give chase with their army? And how come they tried leaving 30 years ago and the tribe of Ephraim were all executed? And I don't understand, God, but I don't understand. So you showed me you run the show. Then why'd you let me suffer these 210 years? You could ask a lot of questions when God comes and says to do something. And you know what? They're intelligent questions. They're not stupid questions. Comes along the Navi and tells us, Zachalti lach chesed neuraich. Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, I remember you're going beyond the call of duty when you were young. Avat kelulotayich, the love like you're a fresh kala. You come to a fresh kala and you tell her, tell me, how are you guys going to make ends meet? And she says, well, I could do this and he could do that. And he asks her, but wait a second. Long term, you know, diapers cost money and fresh wipes cost money. And expenses just go up and up and up. And how's it all going to work? And she says, I don't have answers for everything. But I'm confident in our relationship that we can work it out. That we could take life's challenges and succeed. That's true love. I don't have the answers, but I have the relationship. And I have confidence in the relationship that I can build with it, and that everything will work out because I have this relationship. Hashem says, when I look back at your leaving Mitzrayim, that was love. That was the love of a kala. Lechtech achrei b'midbar, you followed me out into the desert. Kala says, I don't have all the answers, but I'm with him, and it's going to work itself out. We're going to manage. That's what we did in Mitzrayim. So when we speak about leaving Mitzrayim, and the Rasha says, I don't understand, so I don't believe, well, that's a problem. Because you're supposed to bring yourself to a point where you say, I don't understand, that's the truth. But if God has shown me that He runs the show for a whole year now, then I have confidence in Him that He's going to work it out. You'll ask me, what am I going to eat in the desert? You know, 2 million people. I'm going to say, I don't know. But I know two things. I know that this is true, and I know that this is what God wants. God proved it to me. He showed me. And it's very clear to me that this is what he wants me to do. And if that's clear to me, then he has to solve the problem. I don't have the solution. And then he could start asking questions about the past. So he controls the world. So why did he let you suffer for so many years? Every person that left Egypt lost many relatives. Think about it. If one out of five left, that means four out of five stayed. That means the average person lost siblings. So you have the Makkah of Choshech, you have the plague where it's dark, the Egyptians have darkness, and the Jews are burying all their relatives. One out of five left. That means if you, the Jews were dying. Four out of five Jews were not on the level to leave Egypt. Four out of five Jews said, no can do, this ain't going to work. I'm not leaving. So God said, whoever doesn't want to leave is going to die. So here God comes and says, now leave. It's not easy. Like I said earlier, I understand those people who said, but how? But we have to bring ourselves to the point where we say, I don't have an answer to but how. But I have the recognition that God is running the world. And out of that recognition, I realize, okay, if this is what he's telling me to do, he has it worked out. I don't have all the answers. I don't have the answers about the past, and I don't have the answers about the future. But one thing's abundantly clear, what he wants me to do in the present. And if that's abundantly clear, then I move. The Rasha comes and says, I don't care. I have nothing to do with this. I'm not one of you believers. So you tell him something that'll sour his teeth a little bit. The Emola and tell him, you got to answer him in kind. He has to realize what he's saying. Yeah, it's because of this that Hashem did for me. I left Mitzrayim. And you're insinuating something. You're telling him, leave it alone. Me? Not you. If he'd be there, he wouldn't have gotten out of Egypt. He has to realize that this is a path that leads to catastrophe. This is not, you cannot function and say, what I don't understand, I don't do. I don't believe. You guys, what you guys doing? Isn't this hard? Why are you doing it? You have to search for the truth. And you have to be open to seeing the truth. And it's interesting that the Agada calls him a Rasha. But he's still talking to us. We're still on speaking terms. He's still talking. He's asking questions.
So, is it even possible that he's just incredibly confused and not even antagonistic?
Well, we answered him. And it's a starting point. The question is, where is he? Meaning, it could be so confused, then he would be a Tam. Tam Omer, what does the simple son say? Mazot, what's going on? What you guys doing? But then he doesn't have to stick in that venom of this hard work and you guys. He's just asking a simple question. And you tell him, Hashem took out of Mitzrayim, a house of servitude, a house of slavery, of bondage. Hashem took out with a powerful hand. And it was unique. It wasn't like any other rebellion you've ever heard about. And that's why we're commemorating it this night. Because it never happened in world history. Check all the history books, never happened. No other nation ever had such revelation, such miracles, that God comes and says, this nation comes out of that nation, that's it, finished. God, go, settle the land of Israel. Find me another nation that could claim that in their history. Show me one. Because the Torah says it never happened. The Torah in the Eschanan says, tell me, has any other nation ever had this? The Torah says not. I don't know world history, but the Torah says not. And then you have the son who can't even ask. That doesn't even know what to ask. You have to initiate it. The Torah says, on that day, now on Pesach, tell your son the following. Looky here. You see this? This is matzah. See? Hashem did it for me. I left Mitzrayim. You tell the kid as though it was happening to you. And you do hands-on. You show him, this is what we ate in Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, so we took... You take out your velvet pouch, you toss it over your shoulder, and you start talking on his level. We were sitting there. It was tonight, a few years ago, son. And Hashem said, that's it. You don't have to suffer anymore. Remember I told you? The whip. Remember? And you remember how we worked, Abba worked very hard. I couldn't go learn Torah. Couldn't go to shul together on Shabbos. Every day of the week we had to work. Remember? Well, there came a time that Hashem said enough. And Hashem brought 10 makos on the Mitzri. You know, it was very funny. They'd sit down for a meeting, and Franz would come and jump on the table. And they'd try to shoot away, and he'd jump up the sleeve. And the poor Egyptian, oh! He'd have frogs jumping all over him. You know, they'd try to eat, and a frog would jump into his mouth, and he'd try to spit around, and he'd jump down his stomach. And he'd feel the frog jumping around. And he'd have stomach aches. It was terrible. And the poor Egyptian would try to go to the bathroom, and frogs would be jumping in from beneath. And he'd guard Franz, and he'd go to his wife and say, "Can't you keep the house clean? Cleopatra, what's wrong with you?" But no, Hashem said it's going to happen. And poor Cleopatra, when she tried to make... Oh, don't try to steal Matthew Coleman, I'm sorry, no. Poor Cleopatra, you understand, if he's not trying to steal it, I got to remind him that he still could. When she tried to cook something for her husband, so frogs would jump in. Anything he tried to eat, ugh, frogs in my chocolate cake. Who wants frogs in chocolate cake? Frogs in my French toast. Frogs in my pancakes. Frogs everywhere. At night they'd try to sleep, they'd be jumping in their beds. They couldn't go to sleep. You know what it meant to be an Egyptian then? Everyone wanted to be a Jew. The Jews didn't have the frogs. You know how strong Hashem showed us that he was then? Here in Goshen, no frogs. There in Mitzrayim, yes, frogs. And the Jews that lived in between the Mitzrayim, no frogs. The Mitzrayim, yes, frogs. The Mitzrayim's neighbors, the next country, no frogs. Mitzrayim, yes, frogs. Paro went to the UN, they had a meeting of all the kings. He'd sit down, and suddenly they'd see a stomach bouncing. Boing, boing, boing. And he'd, excuse me. Paro, what happened? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. You know what it means? Now, it was amazing. Then, Paro kept saying, he's God. He wouldn't tell anyone he could go to the bathroom. He'd go early in the morning, go on the Nile. No one would see. He'd make believe that he was going to pray. He'd go deep into the Nile. He was a very short man. You know, Paro was this tall. It's a little man.
Who would he be Paro to?
Paro would go out into the Nile. He's the God. He owns the Nile. He created himself, created the Nile. He goes out to the Nile. And as he's waiting in the Nile, he makes his needs. Along comes Paro when he's out there. Along comes Moshe when he's out in the Nile. Poor Paro, he's trying to relieve himself early in the morning. And Moshe walks in and says, Paro, we got to talk. You know, that's not so comfortable for Paro. But Hashem sends him at exactly those moments when Paro's all alone. He doesn't want his guards to see him going to the bathroom. But Hashem says, I know what you're all about, and I'm going to show you. Powerful hand Hashem shows Paro. And when Paro doesn't listen after the first two makos, so Hashem sends a mako without warning. Dam tzverdeya kinim. Poor Paro. He's scratching. So, you know, they try to have a conversation, but it was really not so comfortable to talk when all the time they're itching like crazy. So Hashem showed them that in every point, and the Egyptians, you know, they had all kinds of sorcery, but they couldn't do that one. But they didn't learn their lesson. So you know what? Hashem sent wild animals. And there was this huge octopus that had long hands. The Egyptians would run into their house, lock the doors, and lock this. There was a special octopus with long hands. He'd come, stick his hands through the chimney, into the house, open the door, and then all the wild animals would run in. Could you imagine what it means? Wild animals running through the door. Ah! Understand? The kids are awake. It's a fun thing to say there. You're acting it out. What? You're sitting down for the meal, and there's a snake over there. What are you going to do? Run away from the snake. There's a bear. There's a lion. There's a tiger. Oh, my. Oh. So. If that's not enough, they say, I tell all these animals to drop dead. So what should do? The next plague? All their cattle's dead. Poor Flossie the cow. You believed in those animals. They're all dead. And then Shechin. Big red boils all over. Oh boy, this hurts. They go to the doctors. The lines by the doctors are so long. Doctors look at them and say, no cure for that type of boil. No, we can't cure that. You know what it means to have boils? They couldn't stand on their feet because their feet were covered with boils. They couldn't sit down because sitting down was covered with boils. Everywhere they went, they were just in pain. They all had fever because boils bring on fever. They were boiling hot, and in Egypt it's hot. So Hashem says, you made my children, my Bnei Yisrael, you made my children go out and hunt all kinds of exotic animals for you. I'll have you contend with those exotic animals. And Hashem sends in the wild animals to destroy them. Hashem says, you made my children clean up your streets and be your garbage men. You made them sweep around for everywhere, so I'll send the lice on you. Hashem says, for everything you did, I'll pay you back. You killed my little Jewish children, so I will kill your firstborn children. And so Hashem, for each thing, an eye for an eye. You made them work in the dark, I'll put you in darkness. For each thing the Egyptians did, Hashem paid them back. You know how powerful that is? So the Egyptians, finally, Pharaoh's all scared. He's the Bechor, he's the firstborn too. The middle of the night, everyone's crying. Ah! He got my Afikoman. Wow. You can get back here. Okay.
We'll talk.
Okay. So one of the things that I do is I always try to tell them, you want to pass me the MR just a second? No. But there's Todaraba. I always tell them that if we... What? No, in Baya. I always tell them that there are a few ways you can approach things. One of the things I try to do at the Seder, if we take Mark, just pass it to the tower, please, okay? Okay, I do try to distract them to get my Afikoman. That you will testify that I usually do okay. I usually end up getting the Afikoman back somehow, but he's stronger than me, so what can I do? Okay. At any rate, you gotta be original. He was original, he got me. Okay, he got my Afikoman. Okay. So stories, you guys are getting the idea. Stories with a lot of action and real life, not just stories that read the Agada and tell me a little vart about a gematria. Save them for a different time. It's not for the Seder night. The Seder night is about the story and making it come to life. Yachol Rosh Chodesh. You might think, tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Talmud l'mal b'yomu. That's why the Torah tells you on that day, tell it over. If it says v'yomu, you might say, let me start when I bring the Paschal offering. Let me start earlier. Let me start it by daytime already. I can't eat any chametz. Let me start telling the story early. That's why the Torah says bavur ze. You point. You can point. The matzah, the maror, this represents what's happening. You know where we come from. You know, my great-grandfather used to bow to idols, you know. Originally, we were idol worshippers. You know what that means? They'd come home at night and they'd look at the sheep and they'd say, give me a better day tomorrow. Bless me. They turn to the mountain, bow to phone, and they'd look at the mountain and they'd start praying to it. Bow to phone, help me. And now Hashem did us this great favor. He brought us close to his service. As it says, Yoshua said to the nation, remember originally your forefathers sat on the other side of the Euphrates. Terach Avi Avraham v'Avi Nachor. Where did Avraham come from? His father was Terach. What was Terach's job? Who knows? Terach used to? Make idols, sell idols, bow to idols, talk to idols, pray to idols. He was such an idol worshiper that when his son said, I don't believe in this, he gave him over to Nimrod to have him executed. It doesn't get worse than that, right? Our forefathers worshipped other gods. Hashem says he took our forefather Avram from the other side of the Euphrates. Hashem brought him throughout the land of Canaan, the land of monotheism. The land where you just live here and it affects you. Just as there are places that are better physically in the earth, right? So too there are places that are better spiritually. And so Hashem brought Avram here, v'arbet zaro, and multiplied his seed. V'aten lo et Yitzhak, Hashem says, I gave him Isaac, v'aten li Yitzhak Yaakov et Esav, I gave Yitzhak two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Who's going to be the chosen one? V'aten Esav et al-Seir l'reshtoto. I gave Esav Mount Seir. So Esav's out of the picture. He went to Seir. It was his choice. But no, he left. Yaakov and his children went down to Egypt, which is the root of our claim against Esav. Because we went down to Egypt, we fulfilled the covenant with Avram, and we are the chosen people. We are the continuation of Avram. Baruch Shomer Avtachto Yisrael Baruch Hu. Blessed is the one who kept the promise to Israel. Blessed is he. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishav Taketz. God calculated when he's going to finally take us out, when the end of the bondage would come. Nasot Kmo Shamal Avram Bin Bivit Ben Avtarim. Hashem did what he fulfilled, what he promised in the covenant between the parts of the Brit Ben Avtarim. Shnemal, the verse says, God tells Avram, there's a vision, there's a night, there's a fire, and God tells him, your children are going to be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. It wasn't a coincidence that we were in Mitzrayim. It was part of a treaty, and it had to happen for whatever reason. God said, this is part of how the Jewish people will be born. God says, and I will judge the nation who they are in servitude to, and then your children will come out with great wealth, as we did. You know, when we left Mitzrayim, why do we sit here with all these beautiful, fine silver dishes? You guys see the ivory china, especially brought in from Africa, legal. Sterling silver.
And the velvet.
And the velvet bag, right? Come on. The finest oak tree, wood table, you guys know what. These things are to commemorate that when we left Egypt, we took the finest things when we left Egypt.
I thought they were given to us when we left Egypt.
They were given to us, but that's what Hashem promised. We'll come out with great wealth. And now we lift the cup and we sing the Vehi Shamda.
Vehi Shamda, Vehi Shamda, Lavoteinu Velanu. Vehi Shamda, Vehi Shamda, לאבותינו ולנו שלא אחד בלבד עמד עלינו לכלותינו שלא אחד בלבד עמד עלינו לכלותינו אלא שבכל דור הדור עומדים עלינו לכלותינו אלא שבכל דור הדור עומדים עלינו לחלוצינו והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם